him from the tomb.
Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
Congregation, may be seated. A few announcements that I want to highlight for you. First of all, I welcome you to our Easter celebration. As you know, the day begins at 6 p.m. So we are, as they say, the early bird catches the worm. So we are here and we are celebrating our Lord's resurrection as we move from Holy Saturday and the Triduum of Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday, Holy Saturday, to Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Indeed.
Hallelujah.
A few announcements. Welcome, visitors and guests. Good to have you here as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. I remind you that we've been collecting soup so that we can give it to the food pantry at the Salvation Army, our way of extending the good news of Easter to others as well. And then we have Bible reading on Monday. This is our sixth year of doing that, where we celebrate our Lord's resurrection, and we do so by reading the entire New Testament. We've got all the bases covered, but whether you're at work or at home, whether inside or outside, if you get some time on Monday, I would encourage you to crack open the book of life that proclaims Jesus, who's the Word of God, and read, whether it's a verse, a chapter, a book, but read and get God's Word deep in your heart, so that it can be lived out and practiced in daily life. Also on Monday, the implementation team meets at 1. In-person men's Bible study here on Wednesday at 11 a.m. Council meeting is on Thursday, and that will be at 1 p.m. And then we have a couple of special meetings coming up. April 17th, that's a Saturday, at 7 p.m. at Emmanuel Huddle, and a congregational meeting to talk about the next steps in the building for the future and the land that God has given to the congregation. And so I remind you of those special gatherings as well. Please rise as you are able then. Hallelujah! Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Blessed are those who call on the strong name of the risen Lord. As we gather in the victorious name of Christ, let us open our hearts to him and confess the ways in which we have failed to follow His will, and the ways in which we simply neglected our calling as His disciples. Lord of heaven and earth, of the living and of the dead, we come before you confessing our sins, asking for your gracious mercy. By our human nature, we are sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed.
By your loving kindness,
we implore you to grant us forgiveness and restore us to your salvation, that we might live holy lives here and now, and be with you in the final resurrection. Amen. Through the gift of the Holy Spirit, God declares to all who believe and confess their sins that we are forgiven and restored to a right relationship through Jesus Christ. We have been redeemed and renewed by Christ, our Passover Lamb, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us walk in newness of life, following our Lord Jesus in holy obedience.
Amen.
Our gathering hymn, Jesus Christ is Risen Today. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who went to the cross for our sake, the love of the Father who put an end to the power of death through the resurrection of Christ, and the promised Holy Spirit who gathers us together, be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of all mercy and grace, your only Son's death and glorious resurrection have delivered us from the power of death and redeemed all creation. Grant that we may no longer look for the living among the dead, and instead daily die to sin and rise to newness of life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated for the hearing of God's word.
A reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We rise for the gospel reading. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb, and they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him? But go and tell his disciples and Peter that he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone. They were afraid for the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Congregation may be seated. Were you there when God raised him from the tomb? Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another, 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, we are by God's grace saved through the faith of Jesus, the resurrected one. Beloved, it is God's grace that makes us Easter people, to walk in the light as Christ is the light and the life of the world, the resurrected one. Beloved, we expect the unexpected in the promising places where God has promised to be present for us with the forgiveness of sins, with the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Beloved, we are baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we come to celebrate Easter, to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. We come because we have expectations. What do you expect? I mean, let's face it, sometimes our expectations, what we are hoping for, what we are planning on, is less than we desire. Maybe the bottom drops out. And sometimes when we have expectations, those expectations are exceeded. If you've had a COVID vaccination, like I have, fully vaccinated, well, if you live close enough to a Krispy Kreme, you can have a free pastry every day for the rest of the year. But in our case, well, we'd have to put on a few miles to get near one of those Krispy Kremes. What is it that we have come to expect? In a children's message that I recorded earlier, I said to them, if you have a dog, a female, what do you expect? Well, maybe the family's gonna grow, and maybe that female dog will have puppies. You don't expect that female dog to have kittens, do you? Or little fishies? No, you see, we've come to expect certain things, haven't we? A good friend of mine, he told me that, you know, where he works at, it's been difficult this past year for a lot of businesses trying to stay afloat. Well, he got a call recently, and the call said, we need to visit. And he just assumed, he expected a pink slip. You know, a termination notice. That's what he was expecting. Because you can't keep paying employees if there's no revenue coming in. Lo and behold, the boss, as they were Skyping, said, I want you to know how much we appreciate you and how you've gone the extra mile time and time again during this past year. You are such a valuable person to our company. And he thought, well, okay, is this now when, you know, you pull the rug out? No, instead he said, so we want to give you a raise, $2 an hour. It was not what he expected. My guess is that there are lots of occasions like that for you as well, that you heard news that you didn't expect, that was wonderful, or you heard news that you didn't expect, and it was terrible. So we come to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord because we are beloved, because we are God's chosen people. But there are wounds and heartaches as well. So what is it that you and I have come to expect? Well, I read an article this past week. In December of 2016, there was a woman, and she gave birth to twins. And it was reported in the United Kingdom about the birth of these two twins. She was a surrogate from California, and she was providing a baby, turned out to be two, to a Chinese couple. Well, lo and behold, after the baby was born, they saw the picture of the twins and realized that they didn't look anything alike. And lo and behold, this gal, Jessica Ellen is her name, she discovered that she became pregnant while she was carrying, right, through in vitro fertilization, someone else's baby for the Chinese couple. Who would have expected it? And lo and behold, they found out that because the Chinese mother had signed the birth certificate, both of those babies were legally hers. 10 months it took until Jessica Ellen and her husband, who were the genetic mother and genetic father of the second child in the womb, could get their child back. It was not what they expected when they began that journey. Expectations. Well, it was early on the first day of the week, according to St. Mark, when the sun, S-U-N, had just started to peek out. Maybe an indication that the Son of God, S-O-N, was on the rise also. Early on the first day of the week. And the women, well, they are expected to go and anoint the body of Jesus. So what are they expecting in a cemetery? Well, not life. You're expecting death and sorrow and grief and mourning. And they've got this big obstacle called the stone. It's very large, St. Mark says. It's huge. And who's going to roll the stone away so that we can get in and do our business, anointing the body of Jesus. And it's troubling them. And when they arrive, what happens? It's not what they expected. The obstacle that was in their way, the big, large stone is gone. So what do you expect them to do? Well, if you're like some of my grandkids, you're probably curious. And you probably go walking inside to check things out. And they do. And sitting inside, wait a minute, there's no body there. But there is a body. It's not the body of Jesus. It's a young man, an angel. And he said, don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus. Remember what he told you? Remember what he told you. You should not be surprised. This is what you should have expected because he told you this was going to happen. He's been raised. Now, go and tell Peter and the disciples that he's going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him, just as he promised. The first Easter. He's going to be there. He's going ahead of you just as he promised. And you can expect him to keep his word because Jesus is the living word of God for you and for me. Well, what did they do? It's strange in this particular ending in Mark's gospel. I mean, there's several different endings there in the canonical book of the Gospel of Mark. But this one, as you heard me read tonight, it ends with a conjunction, a preposition, the word for, F-O-R. Who does that? Mark does that. The scriptures do that. They were astonished, they were trembling, they were afraid, huh? And they went out and they said nothing to no one. They were afraid for... It's kind of like, Christ is risen. You expect that, right? Buried alleluias are supposed to rise. You expect resolution. You expect conclusion. You expect things to be finished appropriately. So Mark, as he tells this beautiful story, the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's how he announced it. Chapter 1, verse 1. We already have known for all 16 chapters who he is. He's the living word of God. He's the resurrection and the life. He's the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. And we know that this story ends with Alleluia. We know that. Just as he told you. You see, throughout the Gospel of Mark, repeatedly, Jesus said, the Son of Man, the Son of Man, the Son of Man, Messiah, I am, he says, going up to Jerusalem, and I will be crucified on the cross on a Good Friday. He told you, he told me. It's written in God's word. It's what we should expect. But on the third day, beloved, beloved, the third day, that's where we're at. But on the third day, be raised from the dead. You see? Just as he told you. Expect it. It's the promising word of God for you. Because you're beloved. Because you're baptized into his death and his resurrection. And you're rising daily with him because we are dying daily with him. You see? We can expect it. Do you remember what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration? Peter and James and John were there. And Jesus was talking about his exodus with Moses and Elijah, about his death and resurrection, about the deliverance of God's people. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus looked at those three disciples and he said, don't tell anyone what you've seen and heard until, did you hear that word? until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. You see? Just as he told you. And so now it's Easter. What do we expect? For people to be silent? For people to be afraid of being politically correct in our culture? Well, what are we afraid of? We're the resurrected ones. We're God's chosen ones, beloved, you see? We inherit the gift of the third day. We're walking in the promising love of God. That's who we are. We've come to expect it. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, you remember what he said to Peter? He said to the disciples, "The shepherd is going to be slaughtered and the sheep are going to be scattered." But that's not the end of the story. Because I'm going before you to Galilee. And there you will see me. Peter is the one, you may recall, that said, "Even if they all deny you, even if they all walk away, you can count on me, Jesus. I'm right here. I'll go to the grave with you." And Jesus said, he prophesied it, "Before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me three times tonight." "Oh, no, it'll never happen," Peter said. Yeah, it will. "But my grace will restore you. And I'll meet up with you on the other side, on the third day. And then you're going to have work to do. I'm going to go before you, and we're going to make disciples of all people everywhere. Count on it, Peter." You see, from the very beginning of Mark's gospel to the very end, we were waiting for that conjunction. We were waiting for that preposition. Until, for, go and tell. Don't be afraid. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Alleluia. You see, it demands resolution. It's what God expects of those that are beloved, that are called and chosen to get out there with the good news of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Expectations. I don't know if you follow the NCAA tournament. You know, I'm kind of a Big Ten guy. And so when all of a sudden UCLA beat a number one seed, Michigan, it kind of bothered me a little bit, but it's just a game, right? And so now we got the Final Four, and you know what everybody's talking about with this basketball tournament? Gonzaga, you know, they're undefeated. They're 30-0. That hasn't been done for a long time. If they can now in the Final Four run it, I mean, it's been since the 1950s, maybe? It's amazing. Everybody expects what? Gonzaga to win. But then I came across an amazing article. You know, I'm always learning new things about people and where their hearts are and sometimes where their hearts are not. Well, if you follow the Final Four, you'll notice that there is the Baylor Bears. And they have a player that is phenomenal, Jared Butler. And all season, everybody's been after these Baylor Bears, you know, trying to beat them. But here's what I learned. And I don't know if you know this story, but it's absolutely amazing. It's the rest of the story. It's the resolution that we need to hear. Jared Butler, when he's not shooting baskets and studying for classes and tests, you know what he does on Sundays? He teaches Sunday school to second and third graders so that he can tell them the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, so that he can share the joy, the eternal salvation he has with these little kids. It's just amazing. That's what he does on Sundays. And when he was interviewed by ESPN this past winter, they said, "So tell us, what's the secret? Because everybody's after you guys, trying to upset you, trying to make sure you don't, you know, get a high seed in the tournament and stuff, and you keep winning. What's the secret?" And he said, it's the spirit of thankfulness. We are thankful for every moment God gives us. We are thankful for the greatest gift of all, the gift of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And then Jared Butler, he says, you know, we're fortunate at Baylor because we've got a culture of joy. You know, Jesus, others, yourself. We've got a culture of joy, and it's all centered in Jesus Christ, the resurrected one. You see, at Baylor, these are the words of Jared Butler, we don't have to be ashamed of the name of Jesus. It's our culture. It's our joy. It's our center. I didn't know that. I didn't expect that. You know, but for the people that know Baylor and Jared Butler, that already knew the rest of the story. Just imagine if someone hadn't interviewed him, if someone hadn't finished it so that I could hear the rest of it. You see? You see what I would miss out on? You see what you would miss out on if we didn't tell the rest of the story? If we don't share it with the people who have not heard the good news? Well, then they'll hear about the loss of a loved one. And maybe they'll have a celebration of life, because there's nothing more for them. I mean, that's it. Let's put some pictures up, let's tell some stories, but there's no more. And how sad that day would be to know that there's no more. But there is more. And you and I, beloved, chosen by God, to tell the story, to be the story, the rest of the story, God's story of the resurrection. We've got to be that conclusion, because Christ has finished it. He's put to death death and sin and evil and the devil. He descended into hell for you and for me. And he rose as he promised. He told you, he told me. It's in his word. He is the word. On the third day, there is a story about a famous composer by the name of Franz. He didn't like to get up in the morning. Maybe some of you don't like to get up in the morning. Franz didn't like to get up early in the morning. So his wife, they had a piano downstairs. And you know what she did as she was fixing breakfast? When she was fixing breakfast, she would come out and she'd go to the piano and she'd play the scales. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti. And then she'd go back into the kitchen and finish the breakfast. And Franz upstairs, because he was a famous composer, he wanted so badly to stay in bed and be silent and do nothing. But you know what he did? He got out of bed and he went downstairs and he hit that final note. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. It demands it. It needs it. It expects it. Just like Jesus Christ is risen today. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, beloved, by the grace of God, you are walking in the gift of the third day. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our hymn of the day, Alleluia, Jesus is risen. I invite you to rise as you are able. We continue with our confession. In Christ, you've heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation.
We believe in him and are marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit.
Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue with our prayers.
Let us pray to our victorious Savior on behalf of the Church, the world, and all people. O Lord Jesus, risen gloriously from the dead, you have snatched us from the snares of the evil one. Alleluia. In you, righteousness and peace kiss one another. Alleluia. In you, all God's promises have their yes. Alleluia. In you, we shall not die but live and declare the glory of the Lord. Alleluia. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Fill your church with the splendor of your life, light, and love. May its words and deeds proclaim, Alleluia, Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Crown this congregation with unfading joy, unfailing kindness, undaunted hope, and unceasing praise. Let everyone we meet see your goodness revealed in our words and deeds. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant peace among nations, impart wisdom, integrity, and holy fear to our leaders. Bestow joy, hope, and healing upon all people, especially those afflicted by human malice or natural catastrophe. Bring us into right relationship with you and each other forever. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We plead on behalf of all who are sick, wounded, abused, imprisoned, despairing, grieving or dying, and for all who crave your mercy, including.
We pray this day, Lord, for your healing presence, the resurrection presence, for Barb Stephenson, for Dan Berklin, for Karen Peterson, for Keith Hammerbeck, for Kelly Stoyles, for Cindy Lunn, Randy Olson, Gail Jepson, and for all who grieve and yet die and rise in the promise of Easter. We pray especially this day, Lord, for the family and friends of Steve Christensen and all of the departed saints that we name before you.
Impart your life and love to them so they may sing the psalmist's words, I shall not die but live, and declare the works of the Lord. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Most holy and gracious Savior, thank you for redeeming all who have fallen asleep in your arms. In your mercy, wipe away the tears of all whose grief runs deep. Feed us all with a foretaste of your kingdom feast. Take away the shroud of sin, suffering, and sorrow that troubles this broken world. Bring us to stand with all the redeemed and sing, blessing, honor, glory, and might be to God and the Lamb forever. Amen. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Grant to us all that is in accordance with your will, dear Jesus, and accomplish your salvation among us. For you are risen from the dead and dwell in majesty with your Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Congregation may be seated. I remind you that during these COVID-19 days that we don't pass the offering plates and that we also have distancing inside but also for communion. So following our service tonight, we'll have the Lord's Supper, his body, his blood for the forgiveness of our sins, the gift of the third day for you and for me. Please follow the direction of the ushers. They'll safely usher you out so that you can safely receive the Eucharist as well. And then if you are a supporter of Emmanuel online or in person, there are offering baskets in the back. We thank God every day for the generosity of friends, of members who support the gospel of Jesus Christ and the holy work that we are trying to do here at Emmanuel Lutheran. Let's sing together our communion hymn, In Christ Alone. Here in the power of Christ, we stand. We rise as we are able for our Eucharistic prayer. You are indeed holy, almighty and merciful God. You are most holy and great in the majesty of your glory. You so love the world that you gave your only Son, that whoever believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Having come into the world, he fulfilled for us your holy will and accomplished our salvation. in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his salutary command, his life-giving passion and death, his glorious resurrection and ascension, and his promise to come again, we give thanks to you. We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, not as we ought, but as we are able. And we implore you mercifully to accept our praise and thanksgiving, and with your word and your Holy Spirit, to bless us, your servants. Bless us, your servants, and these, your own gifts of bread and wine, that we and all who share in the body and blood of your Son may be filled with heavenly peace and joy, and receiving the forgiveness of sin, may be sanctified in soul and body, and have our portion with all your saints. All honor and glory are yours, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in your holy church, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Go now in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sending hymn, "Now All the Vault of Heaven," resounds. Alleluia! Go in peace. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Thanks be to God.
And I invite you then to sit as you are ushered out for the Lord's Supper.